In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Good morning, and welcome everyone, and blessed season, blessed month of Kiyak, the month that we come together and celebrate and contemplate and understand the mystery and the joy that comes to the world. And again, those of you who were with us here yesterday, starting that season, starting that praises and prayers, and you can see there is certain energy, certain vibe of joy that we should have. In spite of everything else that's going on, in spite of all our struggles, in spite of everything that tells us, you know, there is nothing to be joyful about. But if we miss this point, then we're missing the whole understanding of Christianity. If we give in and give up and surrender to all the struggles that we're going through and totally forget what happened with each one of us, then we don't understand Christianity. I remember one time, long time ago, almost, it was back in 86, 87, second year of pharmacy school. And being so anxious about first year in Egypt, in Cairo University, where we have oral examination, right? And then you sit in front of people and of the lecturer or the professor. And at that time, it was kind of psychological torturing, honestly, right? And especially if they know that you're Christian and the examiner is Muslim, as we, you know, kind of read in the Synaxarium. And it has its own terror, if I may say that. And I do right before the examination, before the finals, I was really struggling. So I went to my father of confession and kind of like, you know what, having all the heavy, you know, written on my shoulder and expecting like this is going to be a long, you know, discussion, long talk and long thing. I went to him and he looked at me like, what's wrong? They're like, you know, The oral examination is starting, you know, in a week or two, and I can't sleep, I'm anxious. He goes like, he looked at me and smiled and said one sentence that I will never forget. He said it, I'll say it in Arabic and translate. He said, "المسيح اللي خلصك مش يعرف ينجحك." Christ who saved you, isn't he able to make you pass? He said, yes. He said, it's done. Like, what do you mean? He said, go, enjoy. And as simple as that was, again, from 86 till now, I will never forget this. Because that is a very, very, very unique and very strong message that we should all hold on to it in the midst of everything else that's happening. Christ, the Lord who became man in the flesh for my salvation, isn't he able to take care of other things? Yes. Yes. So why, you know, are we missing the joy? Why are we missing that joy? If you look at readings today, can I have you go just through the beginning of the reading, the four readings, the Pauline epistle, and just, you know, go through it. Pauline epistle, Catholic epistle, Acts, and the Gospel. And I want you to tell me what do you notice? Just the beginning, just from the beginning. Okay. Huh? First chapter, you didn't even give a chance to anybody. The four readings are the first chapter. First of Romans, first of James, first of Acts, and first of Luke. Why is that? Is it just kind of like, you know, somebody was bored and just kind of like, okay, let's pick things and put them together? Why do you think that is? It's a new beginning. It's the beginning of the story of salvation, the story of love, the story of incarnation, the story of salvation from everything. It's not just put together like this, oh, it happened to be the first chapter of every reading. No. And that's what we have to start this season with, a new beginning, a cornerstone to go back to. Whenever we feel like things are going wrong, we have a beginning to start from, right? If you're doing something and you don't know where you're at, then, well, let's start from the beginning, right? Right? It's the same thing. Let's be practical and let's be intentional in our worship. It's not just another season. It's not just another praises, another time that we're spending together. But it's time really to be very, very, very understanding. Another thing just to get your attention to, the Vespers Gospel yesterday, if anybody goes through the readings. Again, I really encourage you, before you come on Sunday, go through the whole readings, you know, from Vespers till the Gospel. The Gospel from yesterday was what? It was Mark 14, the story of the woman who came having an alabaster flask, right? Pouring out her love. And also, if you look at, jump, you know, to the next season, the Vespers of Palm Sunday is the same story, but from John. Same story of a woman that is coming to offer and give something that is very precious. Again, why is that? There is nothing haphazard in the church. There is nothing just kind of like, you know, it's just a coincidence. Why do you think the story of a lady that comes when pours and gives everything that she has on the Vespers of the first Sunday of Kiyak and on the Vespers of Palm Sunday? What's the commonality between those two seasons? Not just sacrifice. Something that we do, something pertains to us. The most 2 weeks that people are supposed to spend time in the church. Right? The 4 weeks of Kiyak, again, we just did 2.5, almost 2.20 minutes yesterday. 3 almost with the Vespers, right? Just an abridged version of the Kiyak praises. And then the Holy Week is every day you're supposed to be here, right? You have three services, morning, midday, and evening. And then we come to Friday, the whole day. Why is that also? What is the church trying to tell us? That when you come, come with love. Come pouring out my life and my heart and my mind. Don't just come and say, okay, when is this going to end? You know, or not even coming at all. These are the two seasons that are very important for us as congregation, as people, to come together, to worship together, to offer something to the Lord, because He offered Himself to us. Season of joy. Season of joy. How can we keep the joy just, you know, for the time's sake? Just 3 things from the readings itself. The first thing that is very, very important and very obvious from the readings today, that all that what happened today. So again, during the 4 weeks, we said this before, the 4 weeks of before the Nativity Feast, we read the first chapter of St. Luke, right? The first Sunday today, the Annunciation to whom? To Elizabeth and Zacharias about the birth of John. The next week is the Annunciation to St. Mary. The third week is the visit, right? And then visit between St. Mary to Elizabeth. And then the fourth week, the birth of John the Baptist, and then we go through Nativity, right? So keep this in mind. So today's reading, all the event that happened today, the angel and Zechariah and the Annunciation and his reaction, it's all actually, there's one thing also that's very, very common in the reading today, which is what? Prayers. Zechariah was offering. It says that the people were, while the people were praying. You see that there is an atmosphere of prayers. That is the atmosphere that brings the good news. That is the atmosphere that brings the good news. How is our life of prayers? We cannot enjoy and we cannot be joyful and we cannot go through all the events and all the challenges that we are going through if our life of prayer is very superficial or doesn't even exist. Read again, go back again today and read Luke 1 from 1 to 23 and see that everything goes around, that there is an atmosphere of prayer happening. Not only that, but even the Psalms itself. Like just look at the Psalm of the Gospel today, Psalm 101. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in His glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute. If you go to the Matins Psalms also, you see something that's very, very similar. Psalm of Matins, Psalm 101. Again, from heaven the Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner. To hear the groaning of the prisoner. Prayer. How is our life of prayer? Do you know how to pray Is it just list of things and requests? Are we really enjoying being in His presence? Are we praying? Are we praying unceasingly, as St. Paul says? Are we using what the church has given us, the Jesus prayer, for example, to pray and pray and pray with every breath? That's what the church fathers used to do. That they used the Jesus prayer, "My Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner," to the extent that every breath in and out, they have to mention the name of the Lord. We keep saying life is tough. We keep saying things are very bad. We keep saying I cannot go through whatever I'm going through. But let's go back again and say the simple thing, the one thing that He wants us to, and that He said, you know, He will listen. He from heaven, the Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoners. Are we prisoners to something? I'm the first one. What is that? Are we praying about it or not? Number one, prayer. Number two is when the angel came to Zechariah, he told him something that is important about John, about the baby that will be born from him, right? And he said that he will be what? He'll be Nazarite. He will not touch anything. He will not touch wine, alcohol. He will be for the Lord. He'll be for the Lord. In order to enjoy that season and continue that season, not only in a season, but life in general, to be joyful, let us revise again the idea that we are set aside for the Lord. We are set aside for Him. Give Him the mindset. Renew that commitment every day, every morning. Every morning. Give everything that you have. Even if it's a small portion. A lot of times you just look at the things like, you know what, I cannot be, you know, you hear the stories of the Caesarian and you hear the stories of the saints, like, you know what, who am I to do anything? You know what? The Lord doesn't want you to be another Saint Pichoy, another Saint George. Doesn't want you to do that. Wants you and wants me to be faithful in the little that I have. The beautiful story today of Matins, of Mark, the widow that gave what? 2 cents, 2 mites. That's all she has. I said, that's it. That's what I want. Why? Because she gave everything from everything. Set aside that mindset that we are His every day. Every decision we take, every time we do, we deal with people, everything that we do, is it based on that decision that we are His or not? That we are giving everything. Again, even if it's all what we can really give Him is 10 minutes a day. Just give it fully. And see what the Lord will do with. But even the 10 minutes that we can give, we're not giving. I'm the first one. That's why, again, I love the beautiful passage when we pray the litany of oblation. Those who want to offer you but have none, just remember them. Even just a person that wants to offer, but you know what? I can't offer it. He will not forget this. Life of prayer, life of giving, and finally, life of being patient, life of patience. You know, the beautiful Catholic epistle today, St. James, talks about something that's very, very important. In, again, the first chapter of James, he talks about verse 4. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And we have the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth as a good example of that. Being patient. Being patient, trusting and just being patient. Think God will do something. Even if He doesn't change the things itself, He will do something inward in myself in order to allow me to be able to enjoy what He's done for each one of us. Be patient. I was actually looking at the meaning of that in the Hebrew language. It has two meanings. The word is qawa, which is qawi in Arabic, which is strong. So being patient actually makes us what? Strong. And the other meaning of it, which is kind of interesting, is gathering congregation together, gathering things together. And that's why we become patient, when we are all together, when we listen to each other, when we hear each other, when we see each other's struggles, right? We get out of our own bubble and think like, I am the only one that's struggling. You know what? You are not the only one. We are all struggling. But coming together and encouraging each other brings that point of being patient. Because we are all, again, we call the church on earth here the struggling church, right? The church that is working together and fighting together and taking the hit together, but coming out of this and standing up together as a church. That's why when we say come to the service, that's why when we say come to taste the praises of Kia, come to the Bible studies, come. It's not just because we want people to fill the church. That's not the point. But because we need each other. We need each other. When we come and listen to each other, when we come and hear each other, we become patient. God gives us that. It's a new beginning, new season, but doesn't end. Doesn't end. Because we need to live the joy. We need really to recognize nothing ever more important and more joyful that the Lord himself came, became man in order to save each one of us. Let that be the new beginning, that each time we go astray, let's go back again to the starting point, that he came for that. Let's revise our prayer. Let's renew our commitment, and let's encourage each other to be patient together till his coming. To him the glory, now and forever, to the ages of all ages. Amen.